good to be in the house of the Lord, and thankful to have Sister Janet playing the piano. We appreciate Sister Mary Lou and different ones that are gifted to be able to do that. It's just a good day to be in the house of God. It really is. And I pray that we always take advantage of what God has given us. I feel very weak this morning, but I can say this, that I want to do just what God would have me to do, no more and no less, to follow His leadership and His guidance. And that should be all of our desire this morning. And my thought this morning is discernment of the Spirit of God. And I have thought and meditated over this the last several days. It seemed like earlier in the week that God had given me a thought, and sometime around maybe Friday, He started to change my thought a little bit, and that's all right. So I want to think about the discernment of the Spirit of God. And I have tried our very best since we've been here to preach upon the leadership of the Spirit of the Lord and to follow Him. And that's all that I have this morning, is His Word and to follow the leadership of God and what He lies upon my heart. And as God's people, we ought to be able to discern what is spiritual and what is not. We should be able to understand and know what the Spirit of God feels like. It's not something this morning that we can manufacture. It's not something this morning that we can make up. There's a lot of people today that I feel like that want to design something or make something up that might make you feel good. But what we're doing here is not something that can be stirred by emotion. And there's a whole lot of emotionism, if you will, in the world today. And I want to say this, now the joy that the Spirit of God puts in your heart should stir an emotion, okay? It should stir something within us, but it's not something that is the emotion. You know, it's not something that we do based off of something that that we manufacture or make up. So this morning I want to take for our thought, with the Lord being our help, and I want to look over here in 2 Samuel this morning, 2 Samuel in the 5th chapter. 2 Samuel in the 5th chapter. Pray for me that God would help me this morning, that I might be able to bring this out in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. 2 Samuel, 5th chapter. If you have your Bibles, want to read along, 5th chapter, 17th verse. It says, "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to Hob. And the Philistines also came and had spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim," may pronounce that incorrectly, "and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines without deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth unto mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry tree. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Gibeah unto Gazar. And I, with the many mistakes that we made reading that, y'all know I have a difficult time pronouncing some of these things, but I want to, if you will, just bear with us for a moment. If we look back throughout the Scripture, we'll find that David had been anointed some maybe 15 years before this, and he had been there with Saul, who was king of Israel. And Saul had a great jealousy in his heart because of those women. When they had come back from war, they had begun to cry about David killing his tens of thousands, and David just Saul just his thousands. And there was a great jealousy that was in Saul's heart, and so much that he had a desire that he might take David's life. We can read that throughout the Scriptures. Multiple times that he wanted to, you know, he'd throw a javelin at him and all kinds of different things. He desired that he might destroy David. There was a great sense of evil with Saul. The things that I believe he had took his focus off the Lord, and he hadn't followed God's direction and what God had told him to do. He kept some things for himself that he wasn't supposed to keep. And so, therefore, that kingdom was taken from him. And him and his three sons, they die. So we can read about those things. But anyway, David comes upon the scene, and he begins to reign in Judah. And but all of Israel, if you will, was kind of, it wasn't combined. It wasn't a whole, if you will. And there was a captain there of Saul's army. His name was Abner. And he decided that he would take a man by the name of Ishbosheth, if I pronounce his name correctly, and that was one of Saul's sons. And they took him and made him what you'd say a king, and he reigned 2 years over the other part of Israel. And so it here is that he died, he was murdered, if you will, and David took no happiness in his death. Those two that had committed this murder really thought that they would be esteemed, and really thought that they would get some kind of reward. But David mourned his death. He put them to death. And so here it is, the whole nation of Israel got behind David. They recognized him as a king, and the Lord was really with David. And you can find that in the Scriptures if you'll read back just a little bit before this. God was really with David, and the Lord was doing some great things with David. Now, if you'll remember, this wasn't the only time that David had had a time with the Philistines. If you'll remember back some time ago, that the Philistines had stood against the armies of Israel, and they become out, and they, mocked Israel. Some 40 days they would come out every day and begin to say, "Is there a man that might defend you?" And David come in and he said, "Listen, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for what we're doing? Is there not something this day worth defending?" And God got behind him and he sought the Lord. And we know then that he went down to the brook and he took and picked him out 5 smooth stones. And God, no doubt, he knew how to defend himself. He had defended his father's sheep from a lion and a bear. And God was preparing him for these things. And it took him some time. I believe in this 15 years, David grew as a man. God had took him through some things to bring him to where he was. And I believe in all of my heart, even though the actions of Saul, David still had a love in his heart for Saul. And I believe the Scriptures point to those things. But anyway, you'll find here in the Scriptures that the Philistines began to hear about the fame, if you will, of David. His name had went all around, and they heard about what David was doing. And so they stood against him. And as David began to inquire of the Lord, it says the Philistines had came, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand." And so he did. He went up, and the Bible says there that
that the Lord had come, and he said he had broken forth mine enemies before me as a breach of water. And they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Now, you can find this same account over in Chronicles, but this is where the Lord later put this upon her heart. And you might say, well, what does this have to do with the discernment of the Spirit of God? I want you to know this morning, what we're doing here is all about Jesus Christ. Okay, it's all about Jesus. All right, and we need to be able to discern that which is spiritual and that which is emotion based upon what we want versus what God wants. Now, there's a lot of times that I want something, that I want something to happen. I want something to go a certain way. There's been times that I have even been in a meeting where I felt, God, I really want to follow your leadership here. I would like to say something. I'd like to do something. But I want you to know this morning that if God is not in it, and if the Lord is not pressing your heart, then don't say nothing. Don't get out of the will of God just because you want to be in it. You've got to follow His Spirit. You've got to follow His leadership. And that's essential this morning, to be able to discern. And that word discern means judge, to be able to judge correctly and accordingly. Now, if He knows our voice and we know His voice, we are to know this morning what the Spirit of God is telling us. Now, that doesn't mean that things are always going to happen and go the same way they've always went. God directed. Now, I want you to understand here that David went to the Lord. And he inquired of God. He said, Lord, shall I go up into the Philistines? And I want you to know this morning that there takes some time in prayer this morning. When we come to the house of God, and I've said this before and I'll stand on it this morning, that you cannot come to Sunday morning worship service and begin praying for a service that starts in 5 minutes. You can't do it. But we've got to be praying throughout the week. We've got to have a burden upon our heart that the presence of God might manifest in such a way. And listen this morning, I've talked about the power of God, I've talked about the Spirit manifesting, and I've had people look at me like I've got three eyes. But we can't do nothing this morning without the presence and the power of God. We can't do anything. It's not something, as much as I want to this morning, as much, I'm not your cheerleader. I'm your pastor, and I'm to tell you what the Word of God says. Somewhere along in this, it's got to where people think that preachers ought to stir their heart. Listen to what the Lord says, that He was to bestir Himself. It's my job to tell you what the Word of God says. I'm not a cheerleader this morning. Yes, I want to encourage you. But my friend, listen, you're to get down in a place of prayer and ask God, Lord, will you go before me again? Will you help me again, God? I've come to this place in my life and I need your help. Listen, our church needs your help. We need the Spirit of God. Listen. It's not something this morning that can be manufactured. It's not something this morning that I can just poof and here it is. It's not something this morning that I can just bottle up. I want you to know this morning that I've come here to worship a risen Savior. I've come here this morning. I want you to know that I'm not trying to preach to you out of anger. Listen, I love you this morning, and I know what this church is capable of. I felt the Spirit of God here. I felt His presence move in a mighty way. Do you believe that God can do that every time we come together? I do too. But I tell you, I tend to believe that the world has drawn our focus off the things of God. It's drawn our focus off the things of God. And then we've come to church and we just expect to kind of go through the motions sometimes, and we want to do our reasonable service, don't we? Oh, well, that's what the Scripture says. We just need to do our reasonable service. Listen to me this morning. We ought to serve God because we love Him. We ought to serve God because of what He's done for us in our heart. It ought not be because, well, it's my reasonable service this morning to show up. Listen, it ought to be something inside of us. Every one of us is facing something, every single one of us. And I want you to know this morning, these Philistines represents, I believe it represents Satan. I believe he represents that which is evil. And my friend, this morning, I believe in all of my heart that Satan is coming after your children. He's coming after your home. He's coming after your marriage. He's coming after everything that you hold dear in your life, and he wants to destroy it. That's what he is. He's an accuser. He's a destroyer. He's a liar. And my friend, he wants to tear it apart. And I want you to know, if Satan could, he'd want to destroy my marriage. He'd want to destroy my ministry. He'd do everything that he could to destroy me. You not realize that Satan is after everything that you hold dear in your life? Everything. You not realize that he would, if he could, he'd want to manipulate my children or manipulate me and get me down to a place to where I couldn't serve him, that my boys wouldn't be saved? That's what Satan wants. And yet sometimes we have a hard time just getting to church. You not realize this morning we're to train up our children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. There will be a desire in our heart that our little ones know about the Word of God. There will be a desire in our heart that our little ones attend Sunday school. There will be a desire in our heart this morning to get them to hear the gospel. There will be a desire in our heart that no matter how many miles that I have to travel upon the road, that them little boys might be saved by God's grace, that I'll travel them. There will be something within us as God's people to let them know about a Savior. I ain't aiming to make you mad. I'm just trying to tell you what's on my heart. We look around at the world today, and it's got our attention, doesn't it? And all around us, there's people that's dying and going to hell. There used to be a little girl at the church that I used to pastor. Every Sunday morning, we used to have what's called memory verses here in Sunday school. The little ones and whoever wanted to, they'd stand and they'd read a memory. Now this little girl, she was smart. A lot of times I'd mispronounce words, and she didn't do it arrogantly, and she wasn't a jerk about it or nothing like that, but she'd say, "Brother Casey," she said, "I think it's supposed to sound like this." And I'd say, "Well, you're probably right. You're probably right. I'm not a very smart man. But I'm thankful I don't have to be a smart man to understand what the Word of God says." But she'd stand up and she'd read that memory verse. And the whole time that I was sitting there hearing her, you know what I was praying? God, I pray that someday she understands what she's reading about. I want her to understand the Word of God. I want it to be applied to her heart. I want her to know what the Word says. I want it to be a lamp unto her feet and guide her path throughout this life. Without the Word, where would I be? His Word helps me. It directs me. It gives me hope. It gives me clarity. It drives my life. Where would we be without the Word of God? And yet this morning, we find ourselves, sometimes we don't bring our children to church, and sometimes we don't bring our little ones to Sunday school. You know, one of the greatest regrets that I have of my life, and I've told y'all before this, and people had a hard time with it, but it's just the truth this morning. I didn't mean to get off on all this. I'll get back to my subject in a minute. When the Lord called me to preach, you know how many verses of the Bible I knew? And I'm ashamed to tell you this. No. I knew that there was a Genesis, and I knew that there was a Revelation. And that's all I knew. I didn't know anything. And I thought, Lord, how am I ever going to do this? I'm not a smart man. I'm not a good reader. I struggle. How am I ever going to do this? And you know what His Spirit told me? And it's still what I'm trusting in. You do what I've called you to do, and I'll take care of the rest of it. You do what I've told you to do, and I'll take care of the rest of it. And my God is big enough to do it. I can teach you, I can show you a man this morning when the Lord called him to preach, he couldn't read. I remember sitting in his living room with him and him learning how to say simple words. And we might laugh at this stuff, but I'm telling you, he couldn't read a lick. And he pastors the church now, and the Lord's been good to him, and he can read. I'm telling you, if you'll trust the Lord, he can do some big things in your life if you'll just trust him. Now, the Lord had taken David, and he had overcome these Philistines. I want you to know, just because something that's happened in the past, and I'm thankful this morning for our glory days. I'm thankful this morning for the old days and how we can go back and look at how God moved. But listen to me, we can't go back to those times. We've got to focus on right here and right now, today. That's all we've got. David couldn't go back. Now, he had overcome these Philistines again. But I want you to know, he went and inquired of God again. Now, listen to me this morning. Are you inquiring? Let me say this. Let me park right here. I'm not judging you. But how's your prayer life this morning? How many of us, when we go to God in prayer, we're telling God what we want? Lord, I want this. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want this. I want this. And Jesus gave us what he called a model prayer, right? Now, there's some denominations that follow that prayer to a T. There's some people out there in the world that follow it to a T. But I want to say this morning. The prayer comes from the heart. All right? And I want you to understand this morning that we don't go to God and we don't make demands. That isn't the way that it works with God. All right, but we need to go there in God and inquire of him, Lord, what's the next step in my life? God, what's the next step in our church? Lord, what's the next step in my marriage? Lord, what's the next step? And he should be the one leading and guiding and directing everything. But oftentimes we get in a hurry and we just say, Lord, I want it this way, this way, this way, this way. God doesn't work that way. Well, let me put it to you this way. It ain't ever worked that way for me. But when I humble my heart before him and I ask God, Lord, show me the way. Lord, I need your help. God, there's something that I'm going through and I need your direction. God has showed up. Now, that doesn't mean it's always on my time, and we're going to get into that a little bit. You've got to be patient and wait upon God. You need to have a prayer upon your heart, and you need to be praying diligently. Lord, I'm going to wait on you, and I'm going to let you show up in a big and mighty way. Now, this is what God had told David here. He told him where to go, and this valley that they found himself in was the Valley of Giants. And my friend, I want you to know this morning that Satan, he's all around us. And my friend, you need to be prepared for that. There's things in this morning. I said he wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your children. You know something else? He wants to destroy this church. He does. You don't have to believe me if you want to, but that's just the case. He wants to destroy this church. And you know, Satan, a lot of times, he works in very subtle ways. He just kind of creaks and kind of slithers in there, you know. But sometimes he comes in a great big way. But I want you to know this morning that if you do something, you know what my roadmap is? I'm not perfect. There's this book. And if it's contrary to this book, then it's contrary to the will of God. It's contrary to his spirit. If it's not according to what this book says, and it doesn't line up with the word of God, it ain't of God. Now you can try your very best this morning to manipulate and justify and everything else, but if it's not according to this word, then my friend, it does not line up with the will of God. It does not. I want you to understand that. It said the Philistines came up yet again. But keep in mind, Satan just doesn't come one time and attack your family, your life, your marriage, your home. He comes time and time and time again. He doesn't just come one time and he doesn't just want to step through the doors of the church to destroy the church. Listen to me this morning. He may very well be seated amongst us in a pew somewhere. You say, well, Brother Casey, I hope that's not the case. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. Listen to me. If our mind is focused this morning upon lunch when we get out of here, or the activities that are going on after church, or any of that, listen to me. You better believe he's crept his way in here somewhere. So the Philistines come upon him once again. And it said, and David inquired of the Lord. Now I want you to think about this. David had done destroyed him one time. Conquered. How many of us this morning think, well, I probably could have done that myself again. You know, God was good to me. He's on my side. I'm guilty of that. But the Bible says that David inquired yet again. My friend, we keep going back to God every day, every hour. We go back to God. Lord, I'm inquiring. I need your help. I need your guidance. He goes back to God. And he says, listen to what the Lord said. He says, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come up behind them over against the mulberry tree. Now, my friend, I want you to know that God has a battle strategy. And my friend, he is the captain of our army. He's driving it. He knows the direction. I don't know it, but he does. He's the captain of the army. He knows what lies out in front of us, and he has a battle plan. He knows what we need. I don't. And listen to me, bless your heart. Unless God is leading you in discerning what the Spirit is and what he's telling you, you don't know either. You might think you do. What did Jesus say that the Comforter would do? He said he'll guide you into all truth, didn't he? So is the Spirit of God going to guide us into something that's contrary to the Word of God? No. Is it going to guide us into something that's contrary to His will? No. But He told him what he was to do. He said, but fetch about a compass behind them and come over against them and the mulberry trees, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees that thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee and smite the host of the Philistines. I'm going to try to wrap this thing up here just in a moment, but I want you to know this morning, every time that I believe in all of my heart that that bestirring, if you will, and I want you to think this morning about the rattling or the shaking of the leaves in the trees, and the leaves are starting to bloom out now, and the winds are blowing, and you can see those things are moving. And I want you to know, when you read over in Chronicles about this, that no doubt that David and the armies of Israel had stood before them. And I believe the Philistines seen them. And I even wondered within myself, well, did them Philistines think, man, they're retreating, they're running away? But my friend, God had a plan. And he's always got a plan for your life. He has a plan for our church, if you'll trust in him. And he inquired, and he said, you wait. You wait till you hear the going of those in the tops of the mulberry trees. He said, don't you move. And my friend, I believe the armies of Israel stood there, and I believe they was ready to fight. I believe they was ready. And my friend, I believe we're living in a time where there ain't much fight left in people anymore. They ain't got much fight left in them. They're standing there, Lord, as just they're down in a rough place. And my friend, if there ever was a time that we need to fight, it's right now. My friend, Satan, he's all around us. He's in the school systems. He's in the country. He's in the president's office. He's everywhere in this world today. And if there ever was a time that we need to fight, it's now. It's now. And I'm not talking about sitting down on your hands and waiting for somebody else to fight. But I'm saying we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. When the Lord sends His Spirit forth, we need to be ready to move. But my friend, until He sends His Spirit forth, we don't need to do nothing. I told them Sunday, or the other day, I said, y'all ever been in a service where the Spirit of God is just moving amongst God's people, and then somebody stood up and said something, and it was just out of the way, and it was like somebody took an old wet wool blanket and just threw it on the surface. It just killed it. It was just done. I said, y'all ever been anywhere like that before and experienced that? They said, yeah, Brother Casey, I have. I'm telling you, my friend, we don't need to do nothing this morning unless it's in the will of God. We need to discern this morning what the Spirit of God is. And we don't need to do nothing until we hear the rustling of the leaves in that mulberry tree. And when them leaves begin to rustle, it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter, but when those leaves begin to rustle, we need to be ready to move. We need to be ready to fight. And my friend, I'm telling you this morning, we need preachers. We need lay members that when lost people are seeking God, they need to be ready to fight. There's something worth defending here this morning. They need to be ready to get down on their knees and pray for these lost souls. We've got something going on, my friend, that's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. We look around at the condition of the world today, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm thankful to still live in the country I live in. I'm thankful to still be an American. I fly an American flag at my house. I appreciate the service men and women who fought and defended this country, and I still love my country. But, my friend, I want you to understand something this morning, that Satan wants to destroy it. He wants to tear this country right in half. I don't know if I've ever seen this country more divided than it ever has been. But, my friend, I want you to know this country today, they want to tell boys and girls that they can be different genders. And, my friend, this morning God decided that a long time ago what they's going to be. And, my friend, if it takes my life to stand on it, then I'll stand on it to my last breath. If you was born a boy, then you're a boy. If you was born a girl, then you're a girl. And, my friend, abortion's an abomination to God. It's worth fighting for. It's worth defending. It's worth standing on. And there's lost souls that's dying that need to be saved. But, my friend, we don't need to move unless the Spirit of God says to move. He'll lead us and He'll guide us into all truth. I'm going to say this and then I'll hush. David, you go over next chapter over here and you'll read about a man. I believe his name is Uzzah. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. David went up to move the Ark of God. They put it on a new cart. A man named Uzzah. As they was had them ox attached to that cart and they was taking it there to the city of David, it become unstable and he decided he'd reach out and try to stable that cart. You know what happened? God's anger was kindled against him. The Bible says he died. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that Uzzah's desire, his intentions was good, don't you? I do. I believe he had good intentions. And there's a lot of people in the world today that have real good intentions, but it's not directed by the Spirit of God. And we need to discern what the Spirit is. There's a lot of people that have real good intentions, but my friend, we don't need to do nothing outside the will of God. Nothing. We need to follow Him. He's the one leading. We're the one following. And we don't do nothing, my friend, until He shows us and directs us. But let me say this. When He shows us and He directs us, you better move. I've had people tell me, Brother Casey, I've just never felt led to join the Lord's church. I've never felt led. But I want to say this, and I'm going to be done. I believe Jesus Christ commanded you to be baptized. I believe it. I don't believe He meant it that you might be baptized for the salvation of your soul, but I believe He intends for you to be a part of His bride. And I want to say this. I believe before you can fully enjoy what the Lord has put in here, you're going to have to unite with the Lord's church. You might be able to enjoy it, and you might be able to, listen, you've got a home in heaven. I believe that. We can look at the man that hung there, that thief that hung on the cross at Calvary beside Jesus. They didn't take him down, take him, baptize him. I believe he's in paradise with Jesus Christ. But I want to say this. I believe before you can fully enjoy what the Lord has put in here, you need to unite with the Lord's church. People get caught up. I say, well, I've just never been led. Have you prayed to be led? Have you prayed, God, would you lead me to a church, Lord, that's one of your churches? I'm talking about a sound doctrine, Missionary Baptist Church, or one that we recognize to Black Faith and Order. And it's a sound church, one that you can feel the Spirit of God move, one that you can see the Spirit of God move. We wait upon the Mulberry Tree. I believe the Lord Jesus commanded baptism, and I'll stand on that till the day I die. I believe he commanded it. I believe he wants you to be baptized, and I don't believe you can fully enjoy what God's put in here until you unite with his churches. Well, my friend, this morning, there's things that I believe the Lord desires us to do. I could go on and on this morning, but I'm going to be done. When you look throughout the Scripture, and you see how God, there was an angel that appeared unto Joshua, and Joshua had a fear in his heart, but the Lord told him he was the Lord of hosts, and he told him how he was to march around Jericho. My friend, every time you read in this book that God done something big, you see who went before him. It was God who always goes before us. God always. If he's ever going to lead our church, if he's ever going to, my friend, fill his Spirit within this place so much that we think about the glory days, my friend, we're going to have to follow him. We're going to have to follow his Spirit. That's all the Lord's put on my heart this morning. I know that might have been all over the place, but that's just what God gave me. I desire this morning for true discernment of the Spirit of God. When I tell you the only way, listen, I preach the way I do. I know other preachers, listen, I move around and I, listen, I've got to be free. I've got to be free to preach. And listen to me this morning, I know there's people that say, well, Brother Casey, I'm embarrassed or I'm shy to stand and I'm this. You know what's amazing? I meditated and I studied over what I was going to bring out. And I said a half of things I didn't even plan to say. When you allow the leadership of God to direct you, he'll give you exactly what you need to say and exactly what you need to do. Don't overthink it this morning. But we need to be inquiring. God, what would you have me to do? God, how would you lead my church? God, how will you lead me? Give me the discernment, Lord. And when you hear the rustling of them leaves in the mulberry trees, it's time to move. Don't sit down on God, but you move when he tells you to. And bless your heart this morning. If he don't tell you to, then don't move. That'd be my thought. I pray that God blesses you. Brother Strode, if we'll have a verse of song.